This morning's reading is Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then Ruth told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And Naomi replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the word of the Lord. The book of Ruth is set in restless times, a time when there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the result of everyone doing what was right in their own eyes was chaos and conflict and confusion and widespread corruption amongst God's people. And in and amongst that chaos and confusion and corruption, that lack of rest, the book of Ruth asks us, where can you find rest? Our times, just like the times in which this book is set, chaos, confusion, conflict, corruption, where can you find rest? And the book of Ruth speaks as a story. That in itself is really significant. Stories invite you into a new way of living. Think of when you finish that really good book or that your favourite film, and finishing that book or film is like stepping back into the world. It's like leaving one world and coming back into this world. Ruth tells us that the answer to our restlessness, our search for rest, begins with a better story. What the book of Ruth does is it gently insists you and I have got the wrong script. The story we tell ourselves about who we are and what's happening in this world isn't the right story. The real one is much bigger, much better. It's the story God is telling as he writes out his purpose through human history. What is God's story about? Well, it's about God giving us rest. by putting this world under the rule of his promised king. All of us are in God's story. Everyone is in God's story. But not everyone will be at the happily ever after at the end, enjoying God's gift of perfect rest. How do you get to that happily ever after? How do you get God's gift of rest? Ruth 1, through turning back to God. Ruth chapter 2, through God's grace, his favour. Ruth 3, which we're looking at today, through faith. As you and I turn back to God, relying on his grace, by believing in the Lord Jesus, the promised King, what Ruth does is it quietly begins to relocate you and I out of our restless nightmares and into God's better, wiser story. The story of rest. Ruth says, relax, the world is not on your shoulders. Your choices are real, but they're not ultimate. In and through and above our choices, God is accomplishing his purpose. He is giving rest through his promised King Jesus. And therefore, chapter 3 is going to show us that faith in this God finds rest. Like chapter 2, Ruth 3 has got three scenes. Here's the first, faith seeks. Ruth and Naomi left Bethlehem full. They've returned empty. They have no job, no protection, no future. And chapter 2 has ended on a cliffhanger. Will God provide for them? And if God provides for them, what will this chap Boaz have to do with it? And now at the beginning of chapter 3, Naomi has a plan. And before you cheer her on, let's be honest, her plan sounds stupid. Chapter 2 told us it's dangerous for young women to go down to the fields at daytime. Now Naomi's plan is to send Ruth to the fields at nighttime. And the reader is meant to go, Naomi, what are you doing? Are you a fool? But something else is going on. The chapter often feels risky, almost foolish. But again and again, the author says, no, this isn't foolishness. This isn't stupidity we're saying. We're seeing real faith. Real faith seeking rest. Look with me at verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Notice Naomi's priority isn't Naomi. She's not looking to restore her own reputation, her own well-being. She's seeking rest for her daughter-in-law. She says it twice, rest for you, that it may be well with you. She's living out true faith in God. God has commanded his people to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what Naomi's doing. She's seeking to do Ruth good, to find rest for her. Naomi's always wanted this. That's what she prayed for in chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord grant that you may find rest. Well, Naomi doesn't forget her prayers after the Amen. She believes God answers prayer, and she is now looking for the answer to her prayer. We get another hint of her faith in verse 2. Is not Boaz our relative? Naomi isn't trying to work out whether Boaz needs to be on the Christmas card list and whether she needs to bother writing to him this year. Now, I think Naomi is remembering another bit of scripture. I think she's remembering Deuteronomy 25. In Deuteronomy 25, God says to families in Israel, if a wife's husband dies, then a relative from the husband's family must provide for that widow by marrying her. That is why Naomi mentions Boaz. Naomi believes God will provide what he has commanded, that even in the midst of everyone doing what was right in their own eyes, even in the midst of chaos and confusion and corruption, God is able to bring people to obey his word. It's an amazing faith that Naomi has. She has had a bitter experience. God has emptied her, chapter 1. But she still believes God is kind, that God's kindness has not forsaken her. And so Naomi tells Ruth her plan, and it is a very carefully detailed plan. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself. That's my favourite bit of the plan. Ruth, you stink, and you're dirty. Wash, therefore, and she probably said it slightly more tactfully. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself. Then put on your cloak. It's going to be cold. Then go down to the threshing floor. Then hide there till the man has finished eating and drinking. Then, when he lies down, observe where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet. Then lie down. Then he will tell you what to do. Well, she's thought through every step. This is faith, not foolishness. But again, it leaves us, the readers, with a question. What exactly will Boaz tell Ruth to do? Boaz is a powerful man. Ruth is a woman with no power. In chapter 2, Boaz's first words were, "The Lord be with you." But that was daytime, in public, to his workers. Now it's a woman in private at night. What will he say when he finds her at the bottom of his bed? Let me just say, this is not the Bible's advice on how to date someone or how to get engaged. If you're taking Ruth 3 for dating advice, then you may have the first word of verse 3, and that is all. That is the only thing you can take for dating advice. Wash. You're welcome. But again, remember Naomi's faith. She is seeking rest, not ruin. She knows Boaz is a godly and a worthy and a blessed man. And she trusts God to guide Boaz's heart and his words and his actions. And Ruth shares this faith because Ruth doesn't say, "Naomi, what on earth are you on?" She says, "All that you say I will do." Here is faith seeking rest. Faith that has lost so much, but has not lost hope in God. Has not lost hope that God gives rest. It is the same faith that King Jesus meets today with outstretched arms. The faith to which he says, "Come to me, all who are empty and exhausted, and I will give you rest." Faith seeks. This brings us to scene 2. Faith changes. Ruth does what Naomi told her. She washes, she goes down to the threshing floor where Boaz is, she waits for Boaz to eat, drink, sleep, snore. She tiptoes over, she uncovers his feet, she lies down at his feet, and then all is dark, all is quiet, and we wait for Boaz to wake. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. You can almost imagine her popping up and going, "Surprise!" Actually, though, the comedy is meant to make things more tense, not more amusing. Because do you notice there in verse 8, the author takes away their names. He just shows us a man waking at midnight to see a woman at the bottom of his bed. As if the author asks, "Are you sure you know who these people are? Who is he when only God is watching? Who is she when only God is watching? Who are you when only God is watching?" And actually, because Naomi's plan rests on God being kind, there's an even bigger question. Who is God? Is he watching? Is he really kind and dependable? Verse 9, Boaz asks, "Who are you?" If we were in a school classroom, this would be one of the questions where all the kids go, "Oh, pick me, pick me, pick me." Because we know the answer to this question. Ruth has been called a Moabite 6 times already in this book. She is Ruth the Moabi Moabite from Moab. In fact, Boaz has even already asked this question. We saw that last week, chapter 2, verse 10. Ruth answered, "I am a foreigner." This is an easy question. We know the answer. It is, however, a bigger question than we realize. Because this whole scene would sound very, very familiar and tragically familiar to Old Testament readers. The whole tribe of Moab comes, Genesis 19, from the child born to a woman who sleeps with her father at night. And now we have a young woman from Moab approaching an older man's bed at night. Numbers chapter 25, the people of Israel began to whore with the daughters of Moab. Is that what is going to happen now? She's a Moabite after all. What would you expect from her? Who are you? I am Ruth, your servant. That is one of the biggest plot twists in the whole book. That is the type of thing that knocks you off your chair or knocks your socks off or whatever else. Ruth the Moabite has become Ruth your servant. Where did that change come from? Well, chapter 2, verse 12 tells us. Ruth has repented. She's put her faith in the God of Israel. She's abandoned her Moabite gods. She's come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And her faith, confessed in chapter 1, described in chapter 2, is now changing her, chapter 3. It's giving her a new identity and a new name. Ruth no longer defines herself by her past, by her nationality, or by what other people say about her. All of us build identities for ourselves, the way we think about who we are. Being a Christian, trusting the Lord Jesus, means abandoning that DIY, self-constructed identity, and receiving a new name and a new identity from the Lord. And for some of us here, that feels pretty much impossible. Because who we are is just trapped and wrapped up in shame and self-loathing and regret and what other people have said to us or what other people have done to us. So for some of us here, you cannot ever imagine escaping your worst moment. It dogs you like your shadow. And yet embracing the one true God through faith in Jesus renames you so that you are no longer Moabite. You receive a new name. God renames you after his son. He calls you Christian. God says, I have chosen you and loved you and adopted you in my son. You are righteous in him. Wanted, forgiven, safe, loved. Faith in Jesus changes you. It gives you a new name. And it remakes you. See, Ruth doesn't just have a new name here. She has a new life. She's not behaving like other people would expect. She doesn't behave like the people she comes from. She behaves like the God she now believes in. See, in chapter 2, verse 20, God is described as the Lord of kindness. We saw that last week. And now look at chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, Boaz says to Ruth, you have made this last kindness greater than the first. The first kindness was Ruth clinging to Naomi. The second one is, it seems, Ruth not marrying the other young men of Bethlehem, but instead choosing to marry Boaz, who will care for Ruth and Naomi. But there's a bigger point at stake. Do you see what is happening to Ruth? Ruth is beginning to be defined by kindness, by the Lord's loving goodness. She is becoming like the God she now worships. Her faith is changing her. And that's amazing because she is a Moabite, or at least she was, one of God's enemies, an absolute outsider. What has brought this change? Is it because she's got a super strong faith? No, it is because she believes in a super strong God who takes outsiders and makes them insiders. Who through the death and resurrection of Jesus renames and remakes all who seek refuge in him. It's like someone has turned the lights on in Ruth's life. Because when you believe in the Lord, he lives in you by his Spirit and shines through you, lighting you up like sunlight streaming through a window. He does not leave you in the darkness. And the particular change that Ruth draws our attention to is that believing in the Lord Jesus makes us kinder. It makes us gently, boldly, lovingly kind, just like Jesus is himself. The Lord is changing Ruth. And if you're trusting Jesus, the Lord is changing you too. He's making you kind. Ruth says she is Boaz's servant. The word servant includes the meaning of being available to marry. And so look at how she continues, verse 9. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Now, this is basically a marriage proposal. The word for wings in verse 9 can also mean the corner of your garment. It's the language God himself uses in Ezekiel chapter 16 to describe him marrying Israel. Ruth is saying, I do not want a one-night stand with you, Boaz. I want marriage. I want you to enter the same type of marriage covenant with me that God has gone into with his people Israel. We've heard this language before. In chapter 2, Boaz told Ruth, everyone knows you've come to take refuge under God's wings. And now Ruth speaks Boaz's words back to him. Boaz, will you be the means by which God gives me refuge? She's turned Boaz's question around. If you notice, he asks her, who are you? And she answers his question ultimately by telling him who he is. It's genius. You are a redeemer. And Boaz is stunned. May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. Back in verse 5, Ruth had promised Naomi, all that you say, I will do. Now, in another stunning reversal, Boaz promises Ruth the same thing. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Faith has changed Ruth beyond recognition. She's got a new name. She's got a new life. She now has a new reputation, the same reputation as Boaz, a worthy woman. And now a new future awaits her. Since her husband died, chapter 1, Ruth has shared Naomi's life of emptiness, but soon she's going to be provided for. And we get a few hints of that here. The obvious one is there in verse 13. Boaz says, remain tonight and in the morning, if he, that the family relative, the redeemer nearer than Boaz, will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. One way or another, Ruth is going to be redeemed. We just have to wait till chapter 4 to find out who's going to do it. The second hint comes in verse 15. Boaz said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So he held it and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. At one level, Boaz is simply sharing what he has, a foretaste of a marriage that chapter 4 may bring us, where all his fullness and all his riches become hers. But more than that, her fullness is going to provide for Naomi's future. It's hinted there in verse 17. What we learn in verse 17 that Boaz sent Ruth with this grain so that she might not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Faith in the Lord has changed Ruth. She is no longer a Moabite marked by sin and death and emptiness. She has a new name, a new character, a new reputation, a new future. She is a wonderful encouragement to the first readers of this book. If God changes Moabites into worthy people who display the Lord's image, well, surely God can do that for anyone who repents and believes. It's the same encouragement for us today. God changes anyone and everyone who repents and believes in the Lord Jesus. He can do that. He can give us this new name and new life because of what the Lord Jesus did at the cross, taking our old name, our old life, our shame, our condemned future, so that through his death and resurrection, he might give us his name, his life, his future, his reputation, and his rest. Therefore, finally, faith waits. Faith waits, our final scene. It's no longer nighttime, it's daytime. You get a new PowerPoint picture, lucky you. It's not obvious in our English Bibles, but we've actually heard Naomi's question in verse 16 before. Look at verse 16 with me. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Literally, "Who are you, my daughter?" It's the "who are you" question again. What type of woman have you become? Are you still a Moabite? Or are you someone different? And Ruth tells her all that this man, Boaz, has done for her, because it seems that Boaz's story is now becoming Ruth's story. It's the same type of dynamic. If you're a Christian, somebody asks you who you are, and to ultimately answer that, you have to tell of what the man Jesus Christ has done for you, because his story is now your story. And hearing this, Naomi replies, verse 18, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Waiting has been the background to this whole chapter when you think about it. Naomi sent Ruth off, and then she had to wait for Ruth to come home. Ruth had to wait for Boaz to finish eating and drinking, wait for Boaz to fall asleep, wait for Boaz to wake up, wait for morning, and now Ruth must wait again. She must wait for the one who has blessed her and protected her and provided for her and filled her from his riches to finish her redemption. Which means that verse 18 brings the story full circle. We began with Naomi seeking rest. Now we have Boaz not resting until he has provided rest for Ruth and Naomi. While he works, Ruth and Naomi wait for their full and final redemption. Which is exactly where Ruth's first readers had to wait. And to wait for God to provide rest through his promised king. It's exactly where you and I are left at the end of Ruth 3 today. Today's a day for waiting. Waiting for God's promised king to return. He has come once. The Lord Jesus has conquered sin and death. He has finished his work of salvation. He has entered into his Father's rest. He has promised he will return and take everyone who believes in him into that rest. And so, today, we wait. Today is a day for waiting. Jesus has promised he'll return, and he has promised that faith finds rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful book of Ruth. Thank you for how you use it to change the narrative of our lives, to show us that we can belong to a bigger and better, more beautiful story. Thank you that you use this to make us people who believe in you and who find rest through the Lord Jesus. Father, please today, would you help us to wait for him, knowing that he will return, and that the rest he brings us is absolutely guaranteed and indestructible. Help us to wait by faith today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.